Hello, market makers. Welcome back to another episode of Market Make Her. I'm your finance expert, Jess Inskip.
And I'm Jessie Danoui, your guide on this financial empowerment journey. Today, we're taking a deep dive into another type of stock that you may or may not have heard about. I know this is a new one for me personally.
That's right, Jessie. We're talking about preferred stocks. A company can issue more than one type of stock.
Okay, explain to me and the listeners what a preferred stock is in simple terms.
Absolutely. So the stocks that we have been talking about are what is called common stocks. A company will issue common stock to raise capital. So done with their infancy stages, venture capitalists are cashing out at that point. A preferred stock, it's actually a hybrid investment vehicle between a bond and a stock. So they issue it again to raise more capital, but it works completely different. Is there any jargon I need to explain so far?
Well, I said in simple terms.
I realized I didn't even do that.
I'm going to ask you again what a preferred stock is in simple terms. What would the simple answer be? A bond and a stock together?
Yeah. It's like a common stock and a bond had a baby. They would produce a preferred stock. Gives you interest of a bond, but it acts like the stock.
Okay. So a common stock is just like the regular stocks that we've already talked about in our What is a Stock episode.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. A preferred stock is if a common stock and a bond had a baby, and that's a preferred stock.
Yes.
Okay. So what does this baby look like?
Not cute. So I'm going to use AT&T as an example. We're going to use a real stock today. So we just go through them. AT&T is actually known for having one of the best dividends out there. AT&T's dividend is about 7%. They have a really
wow
dividend.
Yes. Yeah, that is high.
They're notoriously known for that. One of the highest paying dividends. Since they are a common stock, they trade on the secondary market. And for the last 52 weeks or year, we call that their 52-week high and low. Their low was $14.46 and their high was $21.39.
Wow.
It's a big range.
Yeah.
And I will say they're on the low end of that. Right now, they're about $16, and that dividend yield is based off of $16.
Oh, that's a good point. When a stock gives you a dividend and their dividend yield is 7%, it's 7% of whatever the stock value is at that moment.
Normally, they'll take the annual dividend amount and then divide it by the previous day's closing price. So that could change day to day.
The annual dividend amount.
Okay. So when you see a dividend yield, it's on an annualized term. So you could expect to receive 7% of AT&T's closing price, which is about $16, over the course of an entire year. You know what? I'm even going to get a calculator. They give you 0.2775 a quarter. So let's multiply that times four. That is $1.11 for an entire year. Where they closed on Friday is $15.95. So if you take that $1.11 that you get for the entire year and divide it by 15.95, you're going to get the yields of 6.96%,
okay,
which is exactly what it is. My math checks.
Oh, okay, good.
That's important to know. 7% may look high, but it's 7% based on the stock price. AT&T is an income-producing security. We now know how dividend yields work. AT&T pays quarterly. They pay about 28 cents a quarter. That equals about $1.11. That's 7% of the stock's current value. But that stock's current value, that's why I gave you the 52-week range, mm-hmm, and it's on the lower end right now. So that changes. And that's the risk of the stock market. But there's a different type of income stock, and that's a preferred stock. So a bond issues a par value, and so do preferred stocks, which means I'm going to issue a bond at a par value of $1,000. You're going to get interest payments on that bond because it's a loan. It's a debt security. You're literally lending money to the company. If it was AT&T in this case, you'd be giving AT&T more money because they issued debt. That debt has a maturity date. You would get that par value, face value, that $1,000 back at maturity. A preferred stock has a considerably less par value, normally $25.
Par value is kind of like it's not interest. It's like a principal amount.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So the preferred stock has a par value, like a face value, right?
Mm-hmm. AT&T doesn't have to pay you a dividend. That 7% yield, they could give it to you once they announce it on the X date, but then they don't have to the next quarter. They could stop it.
Oh, but they have a history of paying out their dividends, basically.
They do. They have a history of it. When you issue a preferred stock, you are required to pay your dividends. Now, you can pause them, but you are not allowed to give dividends to your common stockholders unless you pay your preferred stockholders first. They have preferential dividend payment.
Okay. AT&T has their regular stock that has their 7% dividend yield that they typically have paid out historically, but they also have issued preferred stocks. And if you are a preferred stockholder of AT&T, you definitely get your dividends.
You're more likely to get your dividends. AT&T has multiple preferred stocks. I'm just going to look at the Class A, but there are so many. That's why there's different classes. And they have different features even.
Well, they have different like ticker symbols too.
They do have different ticker symbols.
Okay.
So T is AT&T's common stock. I'm looking at T.PRA, but symbology changes depending on your platform. The preferred stock, this AT&T Class A, have a 5% dividend yield. That's actually $1.25 annually or 31 cents a quarter.
So why do people buy preferred stock? What's the benefit?
It's the face value part, that 5% dividend yield. They have to pay that before they pay common stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you have a higher chance of receiving that income. And it's considered an obligation. It's a debt obligation in a sense. They have that face value. This one specifically was issued at $25 a share. They have what's called a call date. Now, when they issue these preferred stocks, they don't have to do anything with that maturity date or call date, but they can. And sometimes they do. But what that means is this one specifically, their call date is December 12th of 2024. And that means on December 12th of 2024, they could say, I no longer want to have these preferred stock out on the market. I'm giving everybody their face value of $25 a share. And that's how it acts like a bond, is you get back that principal amount when you choose to take it off. Well, when you buy it on the market. So if you wanted to buy some Friday where the closing price was, it costs you $22.32 a share.
You can buy it at 22 and then get 25 back on the date of 2024.
If they decide to redeem those shares or call them back, which they don't have to and they may not. Normally, preferred stocks trade right around their par value. So you don't have that much movement in the stock. So if you're an emotional investor, this is a solution for you. And it also has guaranteed income. Normally higher dividend interest rates. The example we pulled did not do that, but normally it does.
The benefit of owning preferred stock is that you're going to get your dividends first before the holders of the common stock.
You are. It's preferential treatment. That's why it's called a preferred stock.
It's a guarantee of getting your money back if the company that issued the preferred stock decides to stop issuing it, essentially.
Well, you don't get it at the face value. So if you were to go buy it right now, it'd be $22.
Does it fluctuate a lot on a preferred stock the same as it would a common stock?
It does not. It's normally right around that face value amount. There's some positives and negatives with that. Negative, you don't have capital appreciation. The stock goes up in value. Those capital gains, you don't have as much. I mean, you have them, but it's not as much. But you also don't have the inverse. It doesn't fall as much.
If you still want to have stocks in your portfolio, but you want some that are a little less risky, you might want to include some preferred stock.
Yeah. Right? And if you're trying to create an income portfolio, because we separated growth and income, these are really, really that income side.
I see.
They normally have higher dividend payments. If the company goes under, they also have higher preferential treatment there. You have to pay out the preferred stockholders before the common stockholders.
Okay. All right. We'll get preferential treatment and get paid out before everyone else that owns the stock. And it's a little bit more, I don't want to say a guarantee, it's a little bit more stable in the stock market than the common stock.
It is. Actually, if you go through the risk scale, the riskiest is common stock. The less riskier from a company perspective is bonds that they issue because it's a debt obligation. In between that scale is a preferred stock.
Okay.
So it's less riskier than a common stock, but it's not so riskless as a bond.
Okay.
Okay. So, but there is another important part of preferred
stock we can talk about.
They also can be issued as convertible.
What?
Yep. So you have the right to convert that into the common stock if you want.
Oh.
Only a period that you can do that. There's like a time frame.
Okay, hold on. So I bought some preferred stock from AT&T. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, oh, this is like not really doing much for my portfolio. So I want to just convert that into some common AT&T stock.
That's right.
Why would a beginner investor like me even bother with preferred stock at this point? Because it seems very complicated.
They're complicated in the sense is because everything has a different anatomy. If you are scared to touch any stock, it's considered less risky. It doesn't fluctuate as much. And right now, 5% is more common because of the interest rate environment. You can get that on a money market, but you couldn't a year ago.
Right.
And that's why preferred stocks are a way to have an income portfolio without tying up your money in a bond, because a bond restricts you.
Oh. A bond comes with a longer like holding period.
It does. This is a fixed income security.
Ah, fixed income security. Okay.
Because it has a par value. It has a coupon rate, which is its interest rate. It has a rating. We haven't talked about bond ratings, but they're like your credit score. You want somebody that has a good credit score, because a bond is a loan. They have to pay you back a principal amount, and you can see their ability to pay that back. And that's based on a rating.
Got it.
Good credit score is considered BBB or higher. BBB is BBB.
Hold on. We're talking about company credit scores.
Yeah, basically there are ratings.
When you say BBB, that's not has anything to do with the Better Business Bureau, does it?
No, it has nothing to do with
that. Okay. Companies also have credit scores, and a good credit score for a company is a BBB, but they can have a better score, which would be like a BBA or ABA or something.
Combination of that, or even C. But BBB or higher is considered investment grade. That's a really good thing to know. That's with any fixed income security.
Know that a company could have a credit score. Had no idea.
So you know how like you have your analyst ratings that will say buy, sell, hold, and they give you a price target?
Mm-hmm.
This is another type of analyst rating for their debt. And it's like their credit score.
And you look at that to determine if their preferred stock is something that would be worthwhile buying or not?
Yeah.
When you decide to buy a bond or a preferred stock from a company, you should look at the company credit score.
Yeah. Which is their...
Make sure that they like are legit and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Keeping up with things properly. Okay.
Yes.
Well, didn't know any of that. Didn't know what a preferred stock was. Didn't know what par value was. Didn't know that a company had a letter credit score rating.
They sure do.
Learned all kinds of new things today.
Love it. It's what we're here for. A stock and a bond had a baby. They had a preferred stock, but it has the complications and nuances of mutual funds. You got to read the prospectus.
So much to know, but that's what we're here to do, is learn. And with that, I'll say thank you all for coming down the rabbit hole of preferred stocks with me today. And it's clear that these unique investments deserve a second look, especially when it comes to diversifying your portfolio.
And remember, knowledge is the cornerstone of financial empowerment. So make sure to check out the episode Equity on our website for more details on preferred stocks.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode. Don't forget to rate, review, and share the podcast with your friends, fam, coworkers, neighbors, whoever. And until next time, remember, the more you learn, the more you hopefully earn. And when you build knowledge, you break barriers.
Remember, investing involves risk. There is always potential to lose money when investing in securities. Market Maker provides educational content and resources for informational purposes only. We are not registered financial advisors. For more information, visit marketmakeherpodcast.com.